hosted by Paul from Cliff Richard Radio.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks very much.
Any particular artist you're listening to at the moment?
I've been sticking with the same artist for quite a long time. I like hearing people like Buzz Skaggs. Yeah. I still dig up good old Everly Brothers stuff or the Eagles. So I sort of have a whole batch. I have an eclectic taste now. I play. I do like that Adele, that single track that she had called Rolling in the Deep, which I love. And if ever I get to do volume 6 of the good old rock and roll, I'd love to have a go at that.
Are we expecting a volume 2 anytime soon?
Well, I've been talking about it, but I think the new record label, Warner Brothers, wants me to do, they've got an idea of me doing a duet album, not with a multiple artist, but maybe with just one single artist. I've requested Elvis.
Oh, wow. That would be fantastic.
Well, it would be, and it's possible because, you know, Natalie Cole sang with her dad, yes. And Nat King Cole recorded way before stereo ever happened. So she was able to do that. And it would be a dream thing for me. And, of course, apart from America, where I've only had a couple of hits, everywhere else in the world that I go, all over Europe, Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, I still have people come up to me and say, oh, you know, it was either you or Elvis or you. And so we were kind of linked, which was a big thrill for me because he was my big inspiration. And it would be a personal dream come true, but I think it might be of great interest around the world, even in South America, where my records were played. Perhaps the only place they wouldn't be interested hearing me sing with Elvis is actually the USA. But, you know, that's just one country, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. Hey, you never know.
You never know.
Would you have a certain song in mind of Elvis's?
All of them. What I'd like to do is an album of stuff, of all his greatest stuff, right from the word go. And the only one that I think I would leave alone would be Heartbreak Hotel.
Oh, yes.
Because that, to me, is absolutely classic Elvis. I wouldn't want to break into that. But when you get things like All Shook Up and Teddy Bear and Too Much and a whole bunch of his other fantastic rock and roll singles, I could fit into those fairly simply, and I think it would be of great interest.
Yeah, that would certainly be fantastic to hear. Definitely be fantastic.
Well, we'll try and talk to somebody at the Presley end and see if anybody else can get excited. If they can, I actually have a painting back home, which I think would make a great sleeve, because there was a Spanish painter who came and painted me and Mick Jagger and a few other people, Sting, I think, and he did them for charity. And I gave him a commission. I said, this one I'll pay you for. And I got a picture of Elvis when he was about 24 or something, and me when I was about 44 or something, me singing and Elvis clicking his fingers. And we look as though we're on stage together. So I already have the sleeve. I just don't have the go-ahead.
Well, let's hope you get it sometime soon. It would be fantastic.
I think so.
I'm sure we can all rally around you and petition if need be.
Well, that might help too. I think that it's very difficult for record companies these days. Their budgets are incredibly low, and they've got to be really careful. And I could understand, you know, Elvis is a very, very, still a very popular commodity. And I don't think they would want to do anything quickly or rush into anything. And I just hope that if they think about it long enough or carefully enough, they'll see that there is great potential, really, to sell more records of Elvis. And, of course, I would be part of it, which would be nice. I think everything's in favor of it, except I can't make up their mind for them.
Yeah, exactly. Are you happy with the success of the Fabulous Rock and Roll Songbook?
Oh, the first one, I was really thrilled with it. I've already figured out what to do for the next one. And I looked at the songs again, you know, because when we did the first one, sometimes I looked at the most obvious things, and I did the most obvious things, and they're all classic rock and roll songs. When I looked more deeply into that period, I found a whole bunch of stuff that's really fantastic. I feel, just by thinking in my head about these songs that I've chosen, that it could well be an improvement on the first. And I'd already thought that we pretty well did it live when we recorded the first time, with very little overdubs. In fact, the only overdubbing was done by the keyboard player, because on one or two tracks we wanted to have him, having played piano, we wanted to have him do a bit of tiny bit of strings on one of the tracks, and also we needed an organ sound on one of the tracks. So there was very little of the high-tech approach to recording. And I thought next time I do, if I do Volume 2, I would like to sort of do it live and then sit back with the musicians and say, okay, Mr. Drummer, what would you add to that? If you thought you could make it better in any way, what would you do in terms of percussion? And if he came up with an idea, we'd stick it on, which would immediately give the whole album another feel, but would still keep that same basic live excitement.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. The Still Reading and Rocking Tour was one of your fantastic concerts. And I enjoyed over here in New Zealand when you'd done I Don't Care If the Sun Don't Shine. That was a fabulous version.
Well, again, they're songs that meant a great deal to me. And sometimes I thought that the public, a lot of the public don't get to hear those songs very often. They may remember them from way, way back, but they're not songs that I hear regularly on the radio. But they were kind of favorites of mine. And even Charlie Gracie's Fabulous. I really enjoyed putting that together because I was a fan of his right from the word go. And I've already got down one of his tracks. Do you remember a song called Butterfly?
Oh, yes, yes.
It was recorded by Andy Williams, in fact, but Charlie Gracie wrote that. Yep. And so I thought we could do a really good kind of, you know, beefed up rock and roll version of it the way Charlie might have done it, had he it released as. I think he may have recorded it, actually. He must have done it. I'll give a listen to what he did because he knows what he's doing.
Oh, sounds absolutely fantastic to hear. Are you looking forward to a European league of Still Reeling?
Yeah, I am, actually, because what I'll do is it's pretty well the same show. What I'll do is I'll probably take out two or three songs and put in two or three more from a couple more from the album. I certainly want to do the Chuck Berry Johnny Be Good track.
Oh, yes.
And one of my favorite tracks, I think one of the tracks that came out of nowhere. I never thought that when we first tried it in the studio, we thought, it sounds a bit retro. So we changed the tempo and kind of halved the riff of the guitar. And Such a Night has become one of my favorite tracks on the album now. So I'd like to stick that in just for my sake, and I'm hoping people will like it as well. Sometimes I do things because I just love singing them, and it really does count if the public like it too. And if the public don't like it, I tend to dump it afterwards. But the record company wanted one brand new song on it. And fortunately, the producer, Steve Mandel, and Ray Childs, his writing partner, had a new song, and they played it to me, and I said, oh, that's fantastic. I said, you know, to me that sounded as though if we were 25 years back, it could be potentially a single. And but, you know, singles aren't really great sellers anymore. But therefore I put it on the album, and I've had a lot of good comments about that song. And it's strange because when you listen to the whole album and that comes up at the end, you realize how different, I mean, even I sound different to me when I sing that contemporary pop song. It's completely different the way they played it. They didn't play it like Chuck Berry or anything like that. It was really fascinating to me to see that if you get a brand new song, it sounds completely different to that, the fabulous 58, 60s rock and roll stuff.
Yeah. Do you ever think you'll release a whole new album again of new material?
I really don't know. It really depends how everything goes with Warner Brothers now. They're my new record company. And in America, I'm released on Rhino. Oh, yes. No, I think in Britain too, Rhino. Maybe in Australia too, I don't know.
Yes,
and Rhino
right.
tends to be there. Yeah, it's the sort of retro area of Warner Brothers. So they like to do all these old albums and put out compilations. And I talked to one of the guys recently, and he's very keen that we work on some of my back catalog. And I said, oh, please let me be in on the choices, you know, because, you know, I know he knew them, actually. I was so impressed by an American who actually knew all about I'm No Hero and stuff like that. So I said, just let me be part of the choices, and I'll be very happy about it. So you never know. If they feel excited at some point and say, let's go in and do a brand new bunch of songs, I'd be happy to do it. But you know, Paul, I don't think things are going to change enough for me to be able to do that, because new material by people like me it's not played on the radio very, very much, if at all. And so I don't want to waste musicians' time and the record company's money, you know, and make a flop. I'd rather do things like rock and roll songbook, because there's a potential market already there of people that might remember that and like a new version of it. So at least I feel I can keep recording, which is, for me, a big dream. I never thought I'd still be recording records. And to have my 100th album go in the top 10 in Britain was beyond my dreams. And I don't know if you know, but the DVD went to number one. Well, I have no expectations anymore. I I feel as I'm, heading towards my best, my sell-by date, maybe past it. But every now and then something like this happens, and I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe if I still have something to offer, I can still be acceptable in the charts.
Hosted by Paul from Cliff Richard Radio. I like small speakers. I like tall speakers.